can, by Bhav Suryavanshi, be better than Sachin Tendulkar? Anyway, I'll let you guys.
You're pulling at the heartstrings here, man.
It's a hard one, isn't it?
It's a very hard one.
Because no one kind of asked this, although like there's been some people online, but we're all thinking it, right? We're all thinking that there is a possibility at this stage that this could happen.
Yeah, but what does better mean?
Could he average more in Test cricket? Could he have more of an impact in white ball cricket? Could he be more revolutionary?
Could he have an impact on white ball cricket a lot more than Paji? Then, yeah, maybe he could.
It's still a great career, though. Like, at worst, Sachin is top four ODI batters of all time. And at worst, he's probably top three Test batters of all time. That means that Suryavanshi's going to have to leap to incredible hurdles to get there. But we're all sat here. Have we ever seen anyone like this before?
Like, to be honest, when Sehwag started, I clearly remember he had an outlier ODI match against Australia. But I was very skeptical whether somebody with such a footwork would even survive at that level. Really, because he, I think, scored a 50 against Australia, took a couple of wickets, then got injured in 2001 series. And then he scored in 100 in South Africa, Australia, England, everywhere, and turns the Test cricket on its head. So that is what I would like to understand first. Like, how was Sachin at the beginning? Like, was he actually having such a compact technique in 1989 also? Or we actually saw his evolution as a batter? If that is the case, then Vaibhav definitely has more gears, definitely has a maybe ability to pick length is even more incredible. So if we can add all those things on top of it, I think it would amplify it to a completely different level altogether. Because certain players...
So did he just say he will be better than Sachin?
I think he can.
He can be, yeah.
Can
so
be.
One of the you, things you think he can be?
Yeah, so one of
you
the things...
You think he can be? Yeah. And
so my brain works in probabilities, as you all
know. I just asked you for a yes or no.
Well, he can be, yeah. Of course he can be, right? Probability, there's a chance that he can be.
Yep.
I'm trying to work out what that chance is. So I'm thinking, what odds would I put up
for him to
score more runs in Test cricket? Can't see it. Can't see it happening. Won't play enough of it, probably.
No. Yeah, exactly.
So I can't see that happening. Score more runs in international cricket? Don't think so. 50,000, was it, Sachin?
34,000.
How many?
34,000.
He's got 50,000 career runs in all stuff, then.
Oh, all stuff. Everything.
Yeah. Is he going to score 50,000 runs? He's a child. Keep forgetting this. He's a child. He's just only 15 and not 15 for very long. He can change the game. He can. That can happen. It's... A lot of it is about how he is managed and how he is looked after.
Yeah, and that was the thing I was going to allude to because while I was listening to him speak and then I got a little bit more time to think about it, we've seen in Indian cricket at least, we've seen exciting players come through the ranks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like we saw Vinod Kambli, then we saw, Prithvi Shaw, right? We saw them coming through and like, man, what is this kid going to become? He's just 17, 18 years old. What is he going to become? And then suddenly they fall off the wagon, right? And I think that will be his first... test, so to speak. Can he stay pristine for the game over a period of 5 years? Right? Now he's 15 now. Can he stay pristine with the game at least 20? And if he's able to, if there are enough people to take care of him and he's focused on cricket himself, and because when you listen to everything that the kid says, there's so much innocence to who he is, right? You want that to be protected. And I love the fact that he's saying no to every... advertisement or every gig that's coming his way, and he's focusing primarily
on that. That's so important,
you know, because a lot of that can, like, because there'll be a certain point, like, today he's perceived as a child, but by 18 they'll start perceiving him as a man, and then the female attention will come in, and a lot of that will come in, and that can distract people as well, right? And attention at scale, it's not just coming in sizes, it's like coming at scale at you. He's a good looking lad as well. So
you go through what you just said there. So the first thing is really second year blues, which he didn't have in the second year, but doesn't always come in the second year. Sometimes it could take 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Marnus had an incredible run, right? And then people worked out where to bowl to him. Like, these things happen. So second year blues is important. The next one is he a professional?
Yeah.
Right? Because he still feels like a kid. Like, he couldn't get off the field the other day when he didn't get his 100.
Yeah, yeah.
Eventually, he's going to have to become more professional, right? Because, and you would know this more than anyone, you have to learn how to lose. You have to learn how to fail. All those basic things. You have to learn how you best prepare yourself, right? Yeah. The fame he's already having to deal with, but the fame can go up, right? He's not at like Virat level of fame or Shah Rukh Khan level of fame. He might be at 18 or 19.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's already used to being famous. So you've got all that. You've then got probably what I would say is the most important thing for someone like that is how do you handle the first big failure, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Because, that's a lot of things that we've talked about and we haven't seen him in test cricket yet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we don't know how he handles...
And the world, right? The world now is a pretty dreadful place, right? There's lots going on and social media is vile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he is going to have to... It's all about the people around him, right? Because it's too much responsibility.
I don't think he should be introduced to social media at all, right?
No way.
Maybe ever.
No way.
Just keep him away from that. Let him just live in a bubble.
Yeah.
Because, like, this kid's made for cricket, right? Like, it looks like that. Very few people you speak about in that light. You felt like Sachin was made for cricket. Mm. You felt like Virat, at a certain level, he built himself up for cricket. Rahul Dravid was one of those who, like, you feel like, man, that's sheer determination. And he's done it in this field. He's made for this, right? Within the game of cricket, there are different spectrums that you fall under. Rahul Dravid took care of one spectrum. Virat is another one. Sachin's made for the game overall. Like, just what exactly?
Rahul says about Sachin that, he lived his life so that he could make more runs. Mm. And everything else was secondary to that, right?
Yeah. Fife also said the same.
MS Dhoni is the same thing. For him, it was all about cricket and country, right? It was all about me wanting to play cricket, me, and then everything else. And if you saw his life from that perspective, you'll see that his first priority was cricket. Second priority was the country.
First priority was video games. Second
and then family and all of that stuff. And he lived that, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's my point of, like, I think it's, we're going to be less sensationalist with this than others are, but we're also all cricket experts in our own different ways, right? And we can all kind of see how this could play out. You know, you talked about two really interesting ones before, Vinod Kambli and Prithvi Shaw. I think the one that has probably been the most successful at international level was Neil Harvey, who played for Australia in the 1940s, 1950s. Everyone was like, this is the next Bradman. I think he averaged 60-odd over his first 10 tests. Mm. And he had a great career after that. He averaged 45 after that. But he wasn't. It never. And he started as a teenager, right? Mm. You know, Australians don't start as early as some continental players. But he was like 18, 19 playing with Bradman and these guys. A lot of pressure. Didn't always handle it the best that he could have. And the next big one is Lawrence Rowe, who they thought was going to be the next Bradman again. You know, maybe the next Sobers, whatever. And Lawrence Rowe, by the end of his career, was kind of broken, right? And a lot of that was physical, but there was also mental issues there and everything else. There's so much that can go wrong.
Exactly.
Right?
The physical aspect, we just tend to kind of underestimate because 2004, when India went to Pakistan, last test match, I just cannot forget that commentary. Irfan Pathan was stated as the second biggest prodigy to come out of Indian ecosystem after Sachin. They said it on air. I clearly remember it was all over the newspapers, news channels, everywhere. And in 2006, it took a hat trick. That was it. Panels, man of the match.
It's not a bad career he's had.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you're being compared, when that's the thing that we kind of talk about. They talk about that with number one draft picks in the NBA, where they say you start off as number one draft pick, so you're supposed to be the next Michael Jordan. But actually, all you really want to be is professional, right? And you want to get in. And like, you know, if you try and be the number one draft pick the whole time, it just erodes you, right?
Yeah.
And he's in a position where that's what we're expecting, right? Like, expect this. We are, as a cricket community, expecting greatness from him. And that's a
but also
thing.
Coupled with what that's going to be, like, as a journey, what that's going to be, I would have to say filled by, right? Like, there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations, there's going to be things that will distract you.
Women, as you said.
Yeah. It's going to be a very, very real part of his life. So
how did they affect you?
I lived in a different world. we're speaking about Vaibhav, right?
How did they affect you?
Move on. The thing is, right, Sachin had the career he had, utterly dedicated to the game of cricket, to the game. And he managed to navigate the waters with zero scandals, right? No nonsense, no private life stuff came out. No, you know, he wasn't doing any of the bad stuff that a lot of people with that amount of temptations would succumb to, right? So I keep saying it's how he's managed and how he's looked after. Because at 15, like, should he even have a phone? Do you know what I mean? It's a question, isn't it? Should he be on social media? You're not meant to be, are you, when you're 15? I stay away from all of that stuff. Get the kid playing cricket and get him being as good as he can be at cricket.
I have travelled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things: the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny sims and get the one that does it all. Go to selly.com good areas and use the code good areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Selly.
Let him allow him to watch cartoons till he feels 100%.
Eventually they had to take.
Can we give him a list?
We'll do the list now. They had to take the PlayStation controller away from Ishan Kishan at one point, didn't they? In the IPL, they literally had to do that.
I feel that the family is also taking care of. Like, accidentally, I got this one of his early channels recommendation in my feed. I clearly remember because I had seen this channel 3-4 years back also when it almost started. So there's like 20,000 followers. It's an official channel started by his own family.
Yep.
And they've just put 10 videos 4 years back. Nothing after that. So they have kind of made it a point that after those 10 videos, and last one was around 4 years back, they have made it a point not to kind of continue it also, so that it should not become a habit for him to capture all those things, to be...
Well, there's an element too of, you know, you look at, I forget, the three NBA brothers who, like, they started when they were...
Mellos, what are they called?
Yes, you're right. LaMelo is one of them. What's the last name? Why do I not know?
BBB, they were called.
The Ball brothers. Lonzo Ball, LaMelo, and the other one as well.
LaVar is the father.
Yeah, and they made them into celebrities as kids. And obviously, two of them played in the NBA. The other one, I think, is a professional somewhere else. So these are not untalented kids. Mm. But they pushed them so far. And actually, you think back to it and you're like, you pushed them because you were marketing them to make money out of them. Mm. In the long run, had they just been maybe... treated like professionals, they might have actually been better players, and then they've all got injury problems because of how much they played. And I think that probably when they started that YouTube page, they're like, oh, we need to monetize this now. Whereas actually with him, you don't need to, right? Yeah. He just needs to stay fit and he's going to be worth like an awful amount of money. I remember Cricket Australia did that with Pat Cummins, right? Where they literally just turned him off for 6 years and said, you'll come back when you're ready and we'll start picking you again. Because your talent is never going to be your issue. You now need to get ready. Yes. Whereas it would have been easy for them to be like putting him on a podcast. Here's a documentary about what Pat Cummins is doing and all that sort of stuff. I think that's the better way of doing it. So that sounds like a really good sign to me.
Yeah, I think the purpose of that channel could have also been, okay, you know what? Someone like him from Bihar is not going to get the limelight.
Yes, yeah.
So it
wouldn't have been done from a monetary standpoint. It would have been done from throwing light on a talent like this who seems generational by virtue of the talent. So they were done from that perspective. Maybe that's why, like, once the purpose is served, they were like, okay, shut the channel.
Makes total sense.
Maybe that was the whole thing. And kudos to them. I only hope he's got the right support system, the right mentors to protect him from the world, so to speak, and allow him to live in that bubble until he's ready to explore the outside world and understand what comes with it. Like, I don't think he should be denied the outside world, but I think when he's ready, he should be let into it in silos so that he's able to experience those things and make sure it still doesn't impact his performance. Like today, I think by virtue of us talking about him and the amount of love we have for his game and what he's doing to the game right now, we want it to be pristine. But can we all agree that it's not going to be pristine?
Yeah.
Like it's
what 15-year-old's life is pristine.
Yeah. So there's going to be ups and downs, and that's going to be a part of the journey. And we hope that it's as great as it can be. But we
this is the most exciting time, right?
Yeah, it is. Exciting time.
There's a kid in England, right? And darts is a very big sport in England. It's very popular. It sells out stadia all over the place, right? And there's a kid who turned up a couple of years ago, won the World Youth Championship when he was 15, 16, called Luke Littler. He's now 18. He's already won everything there is to win in the game. He's won the world championship. He's battering players that have been playing for 20 years. He freaked them all out because he sat there in the practice room eating pizza and playing games on his phone while they're hammering darts into the board. He doesn't need to practice. He's just freak. He's just so, so good at the game, right? And his career arc is very interesting. Now, I know somebody who is a manager of dart players, the very best ones, and a promoter of darts and stuff. And I've heard things about Littler's camp and the demands they make for him turning up to exhibitions and all this. His life has now become a show within a show sort of thing within the game. He has now made darts much bigger than it was by virtue of being a phenom or whatever you want to call it. But then he's had an arc where initially when he comes on the scene, all the crowds are massively behind him because it's like, how good is this child at darts? It's amazing.
The Tiger Woods of darts.
He's now 18. And he's had to go through, this year he's had to cope with the crowds turning on him, booing him because he's from a certain place or supports a certain football team. And he plays a bit of a heel. Mm. You know, he's like a wrestler, like he's actually playing up to it, winding the crowd up, all the boos and that. And then earlier this week, he won the Premier League of Darts, which is a big tournament, big money, and immediately burst into tears because it's been so much for him, the ride. And I'm not... So whilst Suyavanshi is probably not aware of the existence of Luke Littler, there's plenty that he could learn from what Luke Littler's had to go through in one country, or I don't know how many countries darts has been in, half a dozen.
I love the idea of like Suyavanshi, just the only social media he has is darts, right? I'm going to ask you a question here. Your wife started tennis at a very young age, and she's not alone in, you know, a lot of women's sports in general, but specifically women's tennis, right? Yeah. There is a burnout that happens with women's tennis players quite a bit because they never really learn who they are, and they get to 24, 25 and they're like, am I just going to keep hitting the ball back and forward, right? It seems now with professionalism, things have changed a little bit, but for a long time we would see early retirements from women's players.
Yeah.
He's starting at such a young age, right? That actually, when we're factoring in the whole Sachin thing, and we know that Sachin lived through that, but he survived it. You can see why this kid might be like, okay, I'll dominate for 12 years and then I'll go off and try and do something.
Like Ash Barty.
Ash Barty's a perfect example of that, right?
Yeah.
So we have to factor that in as well, don't we?
Like, so the thing is, and that's why you also kind of, you want him to be in love with the game.
Yeah.
And the only way that happens is, you know, the ups and downs of it, right? And then you navigate through the ups and downs, and how you come back from a bad season, or come back from people having your number, right? That's when it like the brain ticks about finding solutions, and that's what makes it engaging and interesting as well. So you want him to have the whole cricketing experience. Mm. So I think as fans of his game, I think if we can manage our expectations of him and kind of allow him to go through that journey, where he can maximize it. But also, I think today what we feel for him comes from the perspective of being protective about his journey as well, right?
Well, we're all dads as well. Yeah. So we're all thinking of it from that perspective.
Like, one thing that really has baffled me all over the years is, what if he also comes out on the top of the game like Donald Bradman, having an insane upside?
That's another video that we will talk about another time. But I think that's a fascinating one as well, if we are seeing a shift. Because I think that we've got... Yamal, is that the footballer? We've got Victor Wembanyama in basketball, and we've got Jaiswal in cricket. It feels like something is changing in sport and suddenly everyone is a freak. But we've done our work in this podcast.
Yeah.
What percentage chance does he have of having a bigger impact to cricket than Sachin Tendulkar did?
25.
That's pretty high.
Mm. Because...
Have you been sitting there thinking that the whole time?
Kind of, yeah. So
I know how his brain works.
He just thinks in percentages anyway.
I know how his brain works.
Which is a very scary thought for us both, Jared. So I watch a disgusting amount of cricket. You know, a really, really unhealthy amount. I mean, look at me, for Christ's sake. I watch an unhealthy amount of cricket and have done for many years. And most of the time that I'm watching cricket, I am betting on it most of the time, right? But when I first saw Suyavanshi, I have no stats. I have no stats on children, right? 14-year-old kid turned up, do you know what I mean?
I'm glad.
Behave yourself.
I'm glad.
there's no sample sizes. There's none of this. Behave yourself, Jared. And I was off, away from the desk. My brain didn't care about betting, percentages, gambling. I just wanted to watch what he was doing, right? From the very first ball, what am I going to expect from this 14-year-old? He'd only turned 14 2 weeks before that first game, and he belted his first ball for six, and then his third ball was one of the best shots I've ever seen in my whole life.
Yeah.
What am I actually watching here? It's exciting, isn't it? It's like, oh my God, how good could this kid be? So 25% is really high, but the talent that he's got already that is on show is ludicrous.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? The talent that we see on show today, you want that to grow, right? You don't want that to diminish in any way, shape, or form. And what's going to happen is going to be a little bit like a rubber band effect, where there's going to be a little bit of a pullback, and then he's going to propel forward as well. So for me, there's a part of me is like, okay, I want to see how he also navigates through people having his number. So in the middle of the season, they start trying to work him out, but you could see the back end of the season, he already has responses to that. So there's a particular way that brain works, which I'm very fascinated by. Mm. Right?
Me too.
And I think there's so much to learn from just a observational standpoint about batting itself, and that's what really interests me. And when I made that call saying that I think he's not going to have an over 400 season this year, because I feel like people have seen him and he's played through the year, and I feel like they might have his number. But the kid is so sharp, man. And I'm so happy to be wrong. It's fascinating to me that something that normal human beings, normal cricketers go through has not touched him at all. Even if it has begun, even if it's touched him, his response to that was,
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's exactly what he said. No, that's fine. I'll sort this out. And he's come back and he's done such a great job with it.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Rakshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv.
If you make a lot of content like me, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.